Good morning. I'd like to call the animal control hearings for the City of Palm Coast to order on February 6, 2018 at 10 o'clock a.m. Welcome to the City of Palm Coast Animal Control Hearings. My name is Nicole Turcotte. I will be the hearing officer for these proceedings. I'd like to briefly outline the format of how this morning is going to go. However, first I'm going to ask that you be patient with me. I'm still recovering from this bug that's going around, so if you have trouble understanding me because of my voice, let me know. If I have trouble hearing any of you, I will let you know. This is a public hearing. The hearings are quasi-judicial in nature. The formal rules of evidence do not apply, though fundamental due process shall be observed and govern these proceedings. All testimony shall be under oath and recorded, and there is no public comment portion of these proceedings. The hearings will be called in the order of the sign-in sheet and then as otherwise announced. When your case is called, please come to the podium and identify yourself. The city will begin first by presenting relevant evidence and testimony. When they have concluded their presentation, you will have an opportunity to present whatever evidence and testimony you would like. Following an assessment of all evidence and testimony, I'll enter a decision regarding the matter, and then your hearing is concluded and you may leave. You will receive a written order in the mail. I would ask that anyone who is here and will provide testimony to please stand and raise your right hand to be sworn in. That means anyone who thinks they may have a comment to make at any point in time at the podium or otherwise, please stand and raise your right hand. And I'll also ask you to remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance after that. Do you hereby swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you God? Okay, thank you. And now for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. You may be seated. Thank you. First item on the agenda is to approve the minutes from the prior meeting on December 5th, 2017. I have reviewed those and approved them as drafted. The first case on the sign-in sheet is Mr. Buff. I understand we have two agenda items. Agenda items 2 and 3. Does the city have a preference whether to separate these incidents or to consolidate the hearing? Put them together? Okay. So for the record, this will be agenda items 2 and 3, case numbers 2017-111015 and 2017-111018. The city may proceed when ready.
Good morning. I'm Bill Duna with the City of Palm Coast Animal Control. I'm entering into evidence the city's composite 1, proving proper service along with supporting documents. On November 25th of 17, I received a call from the Flagler Sheriff's Department in reference to a found, possibly injured dog. Arriving on scene, I was led into the garage to view the animal. The animal was a tan and white colored older beagle that was laying down. It attempted to get up, but it couldn't. So talking to the complainant, she stated the dog was wandering in the street, which it wanders constantly. And she had picked it up because it was in front of her house in the median and brought it into her garage. The dog eventually did get up, but it could not walk. The left rear leg was held in the air and had an extremely long toenail on the left leg also. She stated she believed to live down the street at 85 Slumber Meadow, and I picked up the dog was found at 95 Slumber Meadow. Officer Zagala, which arrived on scene also with me, made an attempt at 85 to contact somebody to see if it was their dog, and there was no answer. So it was known to the history of the animal, so I transported it to Flagler Animal Hospital where it was examined. And then at that point, transported to the Flag of the Humane Society where it was held. And apparently, from what I understand, the owner did call the Humane Society and went to pick the animal up. The next day, which is the 26th of November, 2017, I received another call from the Sheriff's Department in the evening. because of that week I was on call. The lady said she found a older beagle wandering in the street in front of the park on Sesame Boulevard, and it had a limp. And because it was dark in that area, she almost hit the animal. She stopped, pulled over, picked up the animal, and brought it home. She described the animal to me over the phone, which was the same one that I had picked up the day before that. I responded to her house, picked up the animal, transported it back to the Humane Society again.
Okay. Anything else from the city?
That's it for now.
Okay, Mr. Buff?
Yes.
Please come to the podium. Good morning, sir. Could you please state your name and address for the record?
My name is Norman Buff. I live at 85 Slumber Meadow Trail. I've lived there for 6 years.
Thank you, sir. Okay, what would you like to say this morning?
First of all, my dog is 17 years old. She's been at the vet, Dr. Sheldon's, for the last year. 6 months prior to this pickup, your department received a complaint from a realtor driving by, seeing the dog in my yard. Your department came out with two people, investigated the dog in my house, and saw the dog was not in any way harmed or otherwise. The dog has cataracts in her left eye, deaf in one ear. I've had her for 17 years. She has hip dysplasia in the back. She's been to Dr. Sheldon's office. She has perfect kidneys, liver, lungs, and heart, and I have a report here. She's been treated every 3 months for an infected toenail, which caused her to limp a little. They will not remove it because of her age, but they trim it every 3 months. The last time I was there was 30 days ago. The lady who called the sheriff's department complained because they wouldn't respond, and it was forwarded to animal control. Animal control came out, and the testimony of the own lady, she took the tag off the dog. She took the dog out of my yard and took her to her house 2 blocks down, put her in a garage, took pictures, posted it all over Facebook. I called the compound and it wasn't open. I went that next morning and picked the dog up and paid the fee. They said that her name was Millie. I told her she was 17 years old, had proof of the dog and ownership. She is not a stray. For the last 6 years, she goes out my back door. I have a letter from my neighbor, goes around his house, comes a path across the front yard, and back into my house. She has never been in the park. This lady also said, and I have her testimony here, that the animal control officer said, well, let's just mark her as a stray. That way we won't have to give her back to the owner. They never contacted my house. There's somebody at my house 24/7. The next day, I called the original officer, and he called me and said he couldn't do anything about it. It wasn't his case. If a prominent man of this kind of experience would have called his own office and found the report 6 months ago, none of this would have happened. The next day was Sunday. I had my dog back. The guy that lives with me is an elderly gentleman and his wife. I take care of them. They let the dog out the back. She went across the road behind the house where there's new construction. She was never at the park. The lady called animal control because she stated to me she saw her on Facebook and was told, and here's a copy, that it was a dog that it was a stray and didn't know the owner. At all time, animal control hasn't known the location of the dog. The Shelton's Animal Clinic has written a whole complete page and given it to the original people about her health, her shots, and her condition. In your ruling, an adult animal says over the age of 6 months. This one is 17 years old. I don't want to put her down. I want her to live a full life. She was on the owner's property. She has never been restrained. The lady, Miss Solange, down the street, I had talked to her, and I told her to mind her own business. She moved in 3 months ago. She's caused nothing but problems in the neighborhood, and she took my tag off my dog. Here's Here's a picture of Sparky. She doesn't have a problem getting up. She has hip dysplasia in the back, and she has the infected toenail, which I can do nothing about it medically. Here's a picture of the tag. She's had it on for 6 years. She gets a bath every 2 weeks. I take the collar off. It was on her. This lady took the collar off, took the tag off, and reported the dog as a stray. She's been there 3 months when she did this. The tag now is back on the dog with name, address, phone number. It's always had her name and phone number. Additionally, I have a report, if you'd like to see it, from the Humane Society, where they called her Millie, notice of hearing. I came out and tried to talk to the officer. Your supervisor wouldn't allow me to talk to him. Said, all you can do is go to a hearing. So they set up a hearing, which I thought was very rude. This could have been solved earlier. I have a letter from my neighbor, a letter from the vaccination department at the Shelton's Clinic. My neighbor, and they've come look. There's a path around my house in the grass where he makes it a little path every day because he never messes or does anything in the house. I have a letter from my neighbor for 6 years. He raises, and he's a rescue for Chihuahuas. He brings jerky over to my dog twice a week or so. He knows the dog. He watched him walk around his house, down his sidewalk. On one occasion, there's a median in our neighborhood which splits the street like a lot of them. She will go to that grassy median and ride back. She does not, in her traffic, does not stop in traffic and does not do anything to cause any problems. In your ruling, it says abandoned. She's never been abandoned. She lived there 6.5 years as of January of this year without any problems. Because of her health condition, I don't want to put her down. And that's when your people came out, an investigator, a man and a woman, and he was a former law enforcement agent, and he said that the dog was in good shape. They had no problem with it, and it's on report and on file with your department. If your records and if your gentleman would have just looked, it's the only beagle in that area, and would have called your office and looked up the beagle, if you had that ability, you would have seen it's my dog. Unfortunately, on both occasions, which is a Saturday and Sunday, I was out for dinner with friends Saturday night, and Sunday I went to dinner with some friends at one of the clubs I belong to. So I personally was not home. In talking to the lady down the street, she's the one that told me, and I have her Facebook page, because everybody jumped on me for abusing the dog, but nobody got the truth until I put it on there.
Okay, let me interrupt you, sir.
Sure.
Let me just clarify a few things. First of all, I'm not the city. I'm an independent party. I don't work for the city, so you're saying my records, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, they have the records. He's right here.
That's fine, but I just want you to understand what my role is in these proceedings, and that I have no background information other than the limited documents I was provided.
I can give you everything you need right
here.
Okay,
let me finish speaking. The condition of the dog is not relevant to me whatsoever. These are two citations for the dog running at large. The definition under the city code of the dog running at large is that the animal is off the owner's property and
which
not under restraint. So those are the only issues that are relevant to me.
Okay.
If you have documentation, I know you mentioned a few things that you would like me to see. May I look at it?
Sure.
Whatever you show me, I have to keep just for the public records and the city's records. And also, can you tell me the name of this lady you keep talking about?
Her name is Dawn Salaj. She lives at 95 Slumber Meadow Trail. She's an elderly laborer with mild dementia.
Okay, thank you.
If you would like to keep them, you can, sure. There's quite an abundance. Here's the picture, the letter from my neighbor, the tag, the Facebook page, and I wanted to give you the medical records. I paid for them to do a complete study of the dog from the heart, lungs, liver, everything, to see that she was not in any way harmed in any way. That's your report. Let me get the other one. The clinic.
That's the Humane Society.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, that's where they named her a different name and all. They were very kind in giving her back to me, but It was very heartbreaking to go through all this, which was unnecessary. I guess that's all I have right at the moment.
Okay, and then while she's making copies, feel free to continue with your testimony. I just didn't want you to go down a path of information that's not relevant for these proceedings.
I understand. And I just, the dog to be determined as a stray is totally unrealistic.
That's not relevant. Whether the dog is a stray or not is not relevant.
You said if she was a stray and off my property, well, that's why they picked her
okay,
up.
Okay, so your
he
definition of stray is a
little
different.
He testified, Chief, it was a stray. It was not a stray. It was picked up purposely by this lady to mind her own business, taken to her house, and falsely reported. And she took the tag off, which she's had on for 5 years.
Okay, so just so I understand, your testimony is that your neighbor came into your yard.
Not a neighbor. She lives like 4 houses down.
Okay, we're going
to
call her your neighbor.
Walked through her dog.
Please let me finish. Your testimony is that she came into your yard, took the tag off of your dog, removed your dog from your property, and took her to your house, her house.
She was walking her dog. She saw my dog in the front yard, picked the dog up because she's a very affectionate dog, took her to her house, put her in the garage, took pictures, and put it on Facebook.
Did you personally witness that?
It's right here. You'll see it. It's on Facebook, all the pictures and everything. The dog's tag was taken off. It's chained on. You can't get it off unless you take it off. She's had it for 6 years. I just put a new one on her last month because this one disappeared suddenly. I okay. wash the dog every 2 weeks, I know, because I have to take her collar off, and it's on there with two chains.
Okay. What else would you like to say?
That's it.
Okay, I'm going to wait for the
sure.
documents.
Thank you.
Did you have witnesses or any other evidence you wanted to present?
No, that's it.
Okay. Sir, actually, I do have one more question for you.
Yes.
You mentioned, I believe, that there was a grassy median that sometimes your dog goes to the restroom. You said that was across the street?
Well, there's a the street goes down, and it divides, and in the middle is a green median. And occasionally she has gone over there and gone right back to my yard. She wasn't in that median, though. That's a rare occasion for her.
But you said you were out for dinner, so how do you know that?
Because it's a pattern. She's done it for 6 years.
Okay, but you didn't personally witness
it. I said occasionally. I didn't see her that day. But this lady testified into what you read. She took it out of my yard.
Okay.
The dog rarely, if ever, she can't walk. She's not going to go 6 blocks down to a park. She can't run. She's not going to run down the street. She never gets into traffic because she's got cataracts in one eye and can't hear out of one ear. She goes this path. I should have taken pictures. You can see her path around the house. She does it every day.
Understood. Okay, thank you, sir. Does the city have a response? I know we're waiting on Mr. Buff's documents.
Yes, Louis Mendez, the supervisor for code enforcement and animal control. We do got Richie Segala, which also is a city employee that's going to testify in some stuff. But understand that we are here for running at large. It wasn't the health of the dog.
But she wasn't okay. running at large.
No, unless you observe that, we can't prove that either.
I observe it every day for the last 6 years.
Okay.
Officer Segala, good morning.
Good morning.
Can you state your name and position for the record?
Yes, thank you. I have to wear my script glasses here. I have my regular ones. My name is Officer Segala. I am the animal control officer, one of them for the city of Palm Coast. On the 25th, I had of 2017, November 25th, 2017, 1:55 p.m., I did respond with Officer Doonan to number 95, the Slumber Meadow, where I did observe the dog in question, severely exhausted, to me possibly injured, but I wasn't sure, and wasn't able to get up on its own four legs when we tried to move it. Learning from the people there, the complainant, that the possible owner might be living down the street at number 85, I decided to go down there with my truck and knock on the door, which I did, observing a vehicle in the driveway. So I said, well, someone's home. Knocked on the door and rang the doorbell. No answer. I immediately go back to Officer Doonan and tell him that there was no answer at the door, and that's where it stood. So Officer Doonan took the animal in question to the hospital for a checkup. The next day, on Sunday, I work Sundays, I get a call in the afternoon from Mr. Buff, and he had asked me, where is his dog? I said, the dog is at the Humane Society, I believe. And he began to tell me what happened. I said, well, how did the dog wander on down number 95, Slumber Meadow Trail? He said that, well, there are times I let the dog out the front door to do its business, and I close the door and I check on him later. I suggested, well, that's not really a good idea. You should have your eyes on the dog at all times, especially if the dog is off a leash, and even though it's on your property, you should make sure that the dog comes back to the front door. So I told him exactly where to go get his dog and so forth, and that was the end of the conversation with Mr. Buff.
Thank you. You have anything else from the city? Absolutely.
He did come out. He did investigate the dog. I never told him I let him out the front door. My dog consistently goes out the back door, walks around the house. I walk to the front door and let him in. He usually comes in and out the back door. I walk to the front door to see he's okay, and then he walks around the house and back into my yard.
Okay, does anyone have anything else? Thank you for your patience while everyone did that. Nothing further, sir?
The only thing is it was picked up as a stray. It was on my property when she reviewed it. There's never been a complaint of there being a stray before.
Okay. Okay. At this time, as to both agenda items 2 and 3, case numbers 2017-111015 and 2017-111018, I'm ready to make my ruling. As to both cases, I will admit the exhibits entered by both parties. The city's exhibits will be composite exhibit A, and Mr. Buff's exhibits will be admitted as composite exhibit B. I'm going to find that city staff met all notice requirements for these proceedings. I'm also going to find that Norman Buff owned and still owns the animal Sparky, the female dog, at 85 Slumber Meadow Trail. I'm also going to find there was a violation of Section 8-30B of the City Code for animal running at large, which is defined by Section 8-28 of the City Code as being off-owner's property and not under restraint. My findings apply to both of these agenda and case numbers. As to the first offense, I'm finding that $75 is a reasonable fine for a first offense, and that fine will be imposed to be due within 30 days of the date of the invoice received. As to the second offense, I'm finding that $100 is a reasonable fine for a second offense, and that fine is imposed, which will be due within 30 days from the date of the receipt. So the total fine for both would be $175 due within 30 days. Mr. Buff, do you have any questions? Sir, I made my ruling based on the language of the city code, which I described earlier. Let me finish. You asked a question. Let me finish.
The dog was not off my property.
Your case is concluded. Have a nice day, sir. Next up, agenda item number 5, Mr. Kreider.
What were you going to say?
Have a nice day, sir.
No, I want to hear what you want to say.
Noah Kreider? Yes. Do you swear in?
I did.
Okay, thank you.
Cynthia Kreider, 12 Eagle Harbor Trail.
Noah Kreider, 12 Eagle Harbor Trail.
Good morning.
Good morning.
As I explained before, the city will go first presenting all their evidence and testimony, and then you'll have an opportunity to respond. Just for the record, this is agenda item number 5, case number 2017-120864. The city may proceed whenever. Ready?
Good morning. My name is Eva Rodriguez, Animal Control Officer for the City of Palm Coast. I'm entering into evidence the city's Composite 1, providing proper service along with supporting documents. Just a little bit of history here. 12 Eagle Harbor Trail had a return to owner from the Flagler Humane Society on May 1st, 2016. Dog was brought in to the Humane Society by a citizen, found running loose. Again, one dog returned to the owner, Cynthia Kreider, July 18th, 2016, from the Flagler Humane Society. Both times, the owner was sent a courtesy notice to remind them of the leash law and to license the dogs with the city. In May of 2016, they did license the animals with the city. On December 4th, 2017, I received a call from the Sheriff's Department about a loose dog that had been running loose from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m.
I'm sorry, what was the date of that?
December 4th, 2017.
Okay, thank you.
At that time, I met with the Sheriff's Department deputy who responded to 12 Eagle Harbor Trail with me, where we found the dog back inside. The owner stated that they sleep with the windows open and the dog jumps out. At that time, they were asked to, maybe close the windows, do something to modify their house so that the animal cannot escape. On December 18th, I received a call again from the Sheriff's Department about a dog running loose over at 27 Eagle Crest Path, where I met with my witness, Ken Costco, who is here today, and provided me with an affidavit that he witnessed this animal running loose and chasing his cats. When I obtained the affidavit, I responded back to Eagle Harbor Trail that the dog was back home, and I was again told that the dog had broken loose from his leash at that time. I had explained that I had received an affidavit and that they were going to be receiving a citation for the dog running loose and creating a nuisance for chasing other animals.
Okay. Do you have a witness you want to present?
I do. Kent?
Sir, you want to come to the podium if he could step? Good morning, sir. It's still morning, right? Can you please state your name and address for the record?
Kent Koshko, 27 Eagle Crest Path, Palm Coast, Florida.
And sir, did you swear in?
Yes, I did.
You did? Okay, thank you. Okay, the city can proceed.
Kent, can you explain what you saw that day of the dog running loose or in your maybe history of?
At 3 o'clock in the morning, I was outside my house and a real beautiful black dog shows up, very friendly, but very large. And so I was cautious because I was. So it had a tag, which, but I was also being very cautious. I got a couple little kittens and they live in the garage, so they scooted out of the way. It took me probably an hour and a half to get enough courage to look at the tag. I got a flashlight, looked at the tag. I got the address. So I walked up to the house. This is about 4 in the morning, just to verify the address. And I walked back to my house. Dog was still there. And unfortunately, killed a possum in my yard. I thought it was one of my kittens, but it was a possum. So I walked back to the house, knocked on the door. This is roughly 5:30. No answer, so I walked back, and this is about a mile total. Anyway, at 6 o'clock in the morning, and I think a police maybe showed up. I called the police first. They said they don't handle that, and then I called animal control. They're closed. That's when I did the flashlight, and finally, I think at 6 o'clock, I think maybe the dog went away. I can't remember, but anyway. So a couple days later, in the daytime, the dog was back in my yard, and I drove up to the property, and the gentleman was outside. I said, "Your dog's loose." He came, and he put the dog in the car, and they drove off. So that was good. And I have not seen the dog since, which is good.
Or did you see the dog kill the possum in your yard?
Yes. In fact, it had it in its mouth when I walked back the first time. And he put it down, and I thought it was one of my kittens, so I kind of went over to look at it, and because I was being real careful, then I realized it wasn't a kitten, it was a possum. The reason I'm sensitive to this is a couple of years ago, 2 stray dogs got loose and mauled one of my cats. I had to put it to sleep. It was nothing left. So I'm just sensitive.
Right.
I love animals. I love them dearly, but I think that we have responsibilities when we own animals. That's it.
Okay, thank you, sir. Does the city have anything else? Okay. Okay.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, Tux is friendly and he's very big. We rescued him about 2 years ago from Tennessee. We're not sure his parentage, but in the last few years, he has proven to be a bit of a problem child. he has jumped out windows. We did shut the windows. I'm trying to think. One of his friends is homeless, one of my son's friends, and he was living with us for a little while. He was trying to help and walk the dog because Tux needs to be walked. He's a big dog and has energy. He walked him, and the dog is big. He broke the leash, and he did get in his yard. He did, I'm sure, scare the man. He did. You know, he killed the possum, I'm sure. We think he has hunting dog in him. We didn't know about his heritage or anything. Since then, I was very upset, you know, about the trouble he was causing in my neighborhood. I was very upset that he was chasing cats. So I have rehomed him. He is in Tennessee now, back where I got him, because he needs to run, he needs to play, he needs to get out. He really can't be a house dog, like I had hoped. So I didn't want any more trouble for that man or his cats or anybody else, so that's what we did. He's been rehomed right after that. My son and I drove him there ourselves.
Okay. That's all. Mr. Kreider, did you have anything you want to add?
I think that's it. She covered it.
Okay.
And he helped me drive him back, so he's like a witness that he's there, he's not at my house, he's not coming back.
Does the city have a response? Okay. So as I'm sure you've heard from the last hearing, the definition for running at large is, you know, an animal being off the owner's property, not under restraint, which you have admitted. The other part of the citation that the city has issued is under Section 8-30A of the city code, which talks about an animal being a public nuisance. So for purposes of this hearing, I will admit the city's exhibits as composite Exhibit A and find that city staff met all notice requirements for these proceedings. I'll also find that Cynthia and Noah Kreider owned, although they do not still own, Tux, the neutered dog, at 12 Eagle Harbor Trail. I am going to find that there was a violation of Section 8-30B of the City Code for running at large, again, based on the evidence and testimony received here today and the definitions under the City Code under 8-28. I'm also going to find there was a violation of Section 8-30A of the City Code for animal being a nuisance, and one of the examples under the City Code for what a public nuisance animal is an animal that is repeatedly in excess of two times found at large, or an animal that damages, harms, or destroys the property of anyone other than their owner. So the city has issued a citation, $75 for each of those violations, so the total fine would be $150. I find that $75 is reasonable for a first offense for each of those, so the total fine that will be imposed is $150, and that will be due within 30 days of receipt of the invoice. And you'll get an order in the mail. Do you have any questions? Okay, thank you for coming. Have a good day. Is Jeffers the next case? That's what I have. Judy, is Jeffers? Jeffers is next, right? Good morning, ma'am. Good morning.
Good morning.
Did you swear in?
Yes.
Okay. Can you please state your name and address for the record?
Yes, Tremaine Jeffers at 56 Woodington Drive. No, I do not. Don't you have a business card? Yes.
Sorry. Okay, for the record, this is agenda item number 30, case number 2017-120127.
Judy Flammer for the City of Palm Coast.
Can you hear me?
I'm entering into evidence the city's composite one, proving proper service along with supporting documents. Chevy, a male dog whose license tag originally expired September 25th of 2017, and the rabies originally expired January 7th of 2018. On January 6th of 2018, Ms. Jeffers did take Chevy to the Flagler Humane Society and did update both the rabies and license tag. The first notice was mailed out July 6th, of 2017, and the second notice was mailed out October 16th of 2017. The citation was issued December 6th of 2017, mailed certified, which came back unclaimed. The notice of hearing, well, then she did get the license tag after the citation was issued. Notice of hearing was posted on January 17th and mailed certified January 18th. It came back, the signature was unintelligible. Previously, October of 2014 and December of 2016, citations were issued for failure to license and vaccinate, but we did waive them because she did come into compliance after receiving the citations. This was the third citation. So the city recommends that the $75 first offense citation be imposed due 30 days from receipt of invoice.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Jeffers, good morning. What would you like to say this morning?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay. So for purposes of my order, I'm going to admit the city's exhibits as composite exhibit A and find that they met all notice requirements for these proceedings, that Ms. Jeffers owned and still owns Chevy the Mail Dog at 56 Whittington Drive, and that there was a violation of section 8-51A of the city code. I don't need to order you to come into compliance since you did that. Thank you for that. But I do find that the $75 fine is reasonable for a first offense, so I will impose that fine, and that will be due within 30 days from the receipt of the invoice. Okay. You'll get an order in the mail. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Have a good day. Ryan Forbes. Good morning, sir. Did you get sworn in?
Yes.
Okay. Can you please state your name and address for the record?
It's Ryan Forbes. The address is 6 Packard Lane.
Thank you. For the record, this is agenda item number 18, case number 2017-120140. City may proceed when ready.
Judy Flammer for the City of Palm Coast. I'm entering into evidence the city's composite one, proving proper service along with supporting documents. Sarah, a female dog whose license tag expired September 29th of 2017, and the rabies is still good until August 4th of 2019. This is a first offense for failure to license an animal. The first notice was mailed July 6th of 2017. The second notice was mailed October 6th of 2017. The citation was posted December 8th of 2017 and mailed certified December 11th of 2017. It was signed for, but the signature was unintelligible. The notice of hearing was posted January 19th of 2018 and mailed certified on the 22nd. It was signed for, but the signature was unintelligible. There have been no previous citations or hearings held for this animal. The city requires a $10 license fee, and the city is recommending that if the $10 license fee is not submitted on or before February 16th, we recommend that the $75 citation first offense be imposed due 30 days from receipt of invoice.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Forbes, what would you like to say this morning?
I have nothing to say.
Okay. So the city is recommending that you be given 10 days to pay the licensing fee, which I believe you could do today while you're here. And I think that that's fair. So for purposes of my order, I'm going to admit the city's exhibits as composite exhibit A and find that city staff met all notice requirements for these proceedings. I'm going to find that Mr. Ryan Forbes owned and still owns Sarah the female dog at 6 Packard Lane. I'm going to find there was a violation of section 8-51A of the city code and order that Mr. Forbes comply by paying the applicable $10 licensing fee to the city on or before February 16th. If you do that, there will be no fine imposed. If, however, you don't pay the $10 fee by the 16th, then a $75 fine, which is reasonable for a first offense, will be imposed to be due within 30 days from date of the invoice. Do you have any questions? Okay, thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Are you all just witnesses?
No.
Observers? Okay. We'll let the record reflect there are no other individuals present for the remaining agenda items. Judy, would you like to do 19 and 20 together?
Yes, please.
Okay, for the record, agenda items 19 and 20, case numbers 2017-101508 and 2017-120143.
Judy Flammer for the City of Palm Coast versus Danielle Washington, 16 Pinto Lane. I'm entering into evidence the city's composite one proving proper service along with supporting documents. Bear, a male dog, and Kendall, a neutered dog. Bear's license expired August 31st, 2017, and the rabies expired September 19th of 2017. The first notice was mailed June 7th of 2017. The second notice, September 5th of 2017. The citation was posted November 13th and mailed certified November 14th, which came back as unclaimed. Kendall, a neutered dog whose license expired September 3rd of 2017, and the rabies did also. The first notice was mailed July 6th of 2017. The second notice was mailed October 16th of 2017. The citation was posted December 8th, 2017, mailed December 11th, which came back as unclaimed. Both notice of hearings were posted January 19th and mail certified January 22nd. There has been no result from that. There have been no previous citations or hearings held for either animal. The city requires a $10 license fee and current rabies for Bear and $5 license fee and current rabies for Kendall. And the city recommends that if they do not submit on or before February 21st, then we recommend that the $75 first offense citations for each animal be imposed.
Okay, thank you. Well, again, let the record reflect that Daniel Washington is not present, nor is anyone on her behalf. As to agenda item 19, I'm going to omit the city's exhibits as composite exhibit A and find that city staff met all notice requirements for these proceedings. I'm going to find that Daniel Washington owned and still owns Bear, the male dog, at 16 Pinto Lane. I'm going to find there was a violation of Section 8-51A of the city code and order that Ms. Washington comply by paying the applicable $10 licensing fee and providing proof of rabies vaccination. If Ms. Washington does this on or before February 21st, no further fine will be imposed. However, if she fails to comply, a $75 fine will be imposed to be due within, a $75 fine will be imposed due within 30 days. I specifically find the $75 fine is reasonable for a first offense. Additionally, Ms. Washington will be further ordered to still come into compliance. And that is final action with regard to agenda item 19. As for agenda item 20, I'm going to omit the city's exhibits as composite exhibit A and find that city staff met all notice requirements for these proceedings. I'm going to find that Daniel Washington owned and still owns Kendall, the neuter dog, at 16 Pinto Lane, and that there is a violation of Section 8-51A of the city code. I'm going to order that Ms. Washington comply by providing proof of rabies vaccination and paying the applicable $5 licensing fee on or before February 21st. And if she does comply by that deadline, no further fine will be imposed. However, if she fails to comply by February 21st, a fine of $75 will be imposed to be due within 30 days. I specifically find $75 is a reasonable fee for a first offense. Additionally, Ms. Washington will be further ordered to still come into compliance. And that's final action with regard to this matter. And last but not least, agenda item 25, case number 2017-101460.
Judy Flammer for the City of Palm Coast versus Brian Adams and Amanda Williams, 9 Richland Lane. I'm entering into evidence the city's composite one, proving proper service along with supporting documents. Timex, a male dog whose license tag expired August 18th of 2017. And the rabies is now expired. It expired February 1st of 2018. The first notice was mailed June 7th, 2017. The second notice was mailed September 5th of 2017. The citation was posted November 8th of 2017, mailed certified November 8th. It was signed for, but the signature was unintelligible. The notice of hearing was posted January 17th and mailed certified on the 18th. That was signed for, and the signature was also unintelligible. Previously, December of 2015 and November of 2016, failure to license and vaccinate citations were issued. They submitted, so we waived them those two times. The city requires a $10 license fee and current rabies. The city also recommends that, since we have had previous citations waived, that the $75 first offense citation be imposed due 30 days from receipt of invoice.
Thank you. Let the record reflect that Brian Adams and Amanda Williams are not present, nor is anyone on their behalf. I'm going to omit the city exhibits as composite exhibit A and find that city staff met all notice requirements for these proceedings, that Brian Adams and Amanda Williams owned and still own Timex and Mail Dog at 9 Richland Lane, and that there was a violation of Section 8-51A of the city code. I'm going to order that Mr. Adams and Ms. Williams comply by submitting proof of rabies vaccination and paying the applicable $10 licensing fee. Additionally, I'm going to find that $75 fine is reasonable for a first offense, and I will impose that fine, which will be due within 30 days of the date of invoice. Okay, there being no further business, the next animal control license hearing will be April 3rd, 2018 at 10 a.m. These proceedings are concluded at 10:53.